Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They don't dare because they wouldn't be talk shows if they did that stuff that we do. Anyway, we do apologize up front for trying to be entertaining and just kidding. Just apologizing to a handful of people that
don't get it.
Don't get it. Right. All right. John Edwards, as I mentioned last hour, John Edwards, this is the first day of his trial. There was testimony here by Andrew Young. Oh, I forgot to look up Bunny Mellon. Did either one of you Mellon heads do that?
No, I didn't do it either. What do you need to look her up for?
I just wonder if she's part of the Mellon family. I think she'd have to be. How many families in America with the last name Mellon are loaded, you know? And I would say that Bunny Mellon has got to be, here it is. She is Rachel Lambert Mellon. And
kind of a hip name for an old lady.
It's a hip name for an old lady, yeah. She was born in 1910, and a horticulturist, gardener, philanthropist, fine arts collector, member of the International Best Dressed List, widow of philanthropist, art collector, thoroughbred racehorse owner, breeder, and banker heir. Aha! Banker heir Paul Mellon.
What's that mean?
It means he's the heir to the Andrew Mellon fortune. Andrew Mellon, old man Mellon, as I like to refer to these guys. He was the cat that started the whole family, money trough. He was the guy that started the whole, you know, the fortune, right? Many families in America are distinguished that way. The Rockefellers, the Mellons. One of those families won't be the Hendry family. Just kidding. Not really.
You leave a fortune, just not that much.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, there was a time. All right, so John Edwards was the beneficiary of some of Bunny Mellon's money. She apologized, as we mentioned to you last hour. She apologized to the senator that she wasn't able to give him more than $1 million, the campaign finance restrictions being what they are. She said she was close personal friends with Senator John and Bobby Kennedy. Yes, sure. I'm kidding.
Yeah, she probably was.
She probably was. I'm just joking around. But, you know, that kind of, that sort of facile comparison, sure, she says that John Edwards, you know, has all the best traits of Bobby and John Kennedy. Why? Because they're all, like, good-looking guys? You know, because I don't see anything in this guy Edwards. Anyway, prosecutors say Edwards broke federal laws by accepting about $725,000 from Mellon and more than $200,000 from Fred Barron, a now-deceased Texas lawyer who was his finance chairman. The money was used to pay for Hunter's living and medical expenses, travel and accommodations to her out of sight, to keep her out of sight while he made the second White House run in 2008. That's what prosecutors are saying, as you know. We have Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. Mr. Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, is now retired owner of the Bonafide Heating and Plumbing business there in Alhambra, California, and was himself a John Edwards fan for a brief time. Joining us now on the line from Alhambra, and, you know, I would have to ask you right out of the gate here, Lloyd, you know, how long were you a supporter of his? What was it about him that you liked?
Well, I was a supporter of John Edwards for probably a good 6 or 7 months because I'm a voting Republican.
Excuse me, you said you're a Republican.
Yes, I'm a voting Republican. By that I mean... you know, I wouldn't say that I hold all Republican views, you know, but I am conservative in some areas. And in other areas, I believe that we've had to make, we must do things to help the country as a whole. And I felt that for a while, I felt that John Edwards was the kind of a candidate that I would personally want to have represent me in the White House.
And when did that change?
Well, for me, it changed, I think, when the information became in the news about him quite possibly having this affair.
Okay.
And
did you believe it?
Well, I didn't know what to believe, but I felt that it looked as if he might have a problem there, and I didn't find that to be a beneficial state of affairs, obviously, for his run for the presidency, and I certainly didn't, as a personal matter and as a matter of integrity, I thought he was exposed there. And so I at that time made the decision, you know, that I would back off, and I swung my support the other way back over to the Republican side.
Now, that's interesting. So you went from the supporting John Edwards to John McCain?
Yes, to John McCain. But that I don't vote necessarily according to the party. I vote on issues, and I felt that John Edwards was making some statements about certain issues that I thought...
Is it like poverty?
Yes, sir. The addressing issues of poverty I thought was very important, and I felt that he was well-placed to do that. Now, when I heard this information about the having an affair, of course, then I felt that he was exposed, as I said, and that's when I felt that I would swing my vote the other way.
Did you maintain an admiration for this man?
I did. I felt that I was sorry that he'd made the decision that he made, but I didn't know if it was true or not. And when it finally was brought forth in the news that yes, this did happen, that he admitted to it, I was very, very, at that point, I became very disappointed. And I became very angry.
And you got angry at him, huh?
Yeah, well, I did. I felt that John Edwards stood poised to, really, he could have done great things. And I think he acted, I think he was plain stupid to be unkind, but I think to be unkind, but to be accurate. I think he was stupid. I think he behaved stupidly. And his wife, of course, who was suffering from this terrible disease that would prove to be fatal, to treat that woman that way was ignorant beyond description.
Did any of that go into... You still maintained your admiration for the guy?
Well, I did, but I knew that he was... I think he had great ideas. I think he had great ideas.
But just flawed as a man.
But just an absolute imbecile when it came to knowing what he had. And you have to understand, Bill, you know, I lost my son in the Vietnam War.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, it's all right. He was a very young man, 21 years of age. He was a lieutenant in the United States Army, and he was in Vietnam. And, you know, my son's name was Ralph. And Ralph was, we loved him, obviously. And we still do. But we have a picture of him on our mantelpiece. It's been so many years, you know, but we still look at him. And when I walk by that picture, and it's a picture of him in his Army dress uniform, I look at him and I think, that's... really, not only someone that I love, but one of the stupidest men in the world. And
why? Why do you say that?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the manner in which my son died was a kind of a thing where, you know, a guy wants to be a hero, and I think they gave him a posthumous a Bronze Star. His mother will know it was a Bronze Star. Because there was a live explosive of some kind, and he stepped in front of the blast of this, and it killed him. Now, you have got to be so stupid.
Wait. That sounds like a very heroic thing, though. You know.
Well, heroic. Okay. You know something? One man's hero is another man's idiot. Because this boy, 21-year-old lieutenant, and this North Vietnamese, some kind of a booby trap or something, I guess it was a hand grenade, that he attempted to retrieve and to shield the rest of his squad with his body as he tried to get this hand grenade, tried to pitch it away from them, and it exploded, and it killed him. Now, how stupid, seriously, Phil, I ask you, how stupid do you have to be?
Well, I'm not going to even go there with that, you know.
But you're not going to go because you want to think of him as some kind of a hero, and that's fine, and you can do that, and we can have those discussions. But at the end of the day, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is the same thing with Edwards. A couple of idiots. One of them was my son, and another guy I was going to vote for president.
And don't you feel proud of your son in any sense?
I love my son very much. There'll never be anything that changes that. I just look at that picture and I think, you idiot. You know, just right up. Well, his mother doesn't feel, his mother's here, she doesn't feel his ex, but I walk by that and I look and I think, what an imbecile. Because he could be here today.
Well, what do you mean he could be here? First of all, look, I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, there you go, bingo, because I'm his father.
Well, that's fine. You can feel how you want to feel, and I, you know, I'll respect that. But can't you be kind? Can't you see that what he did? Don't you know the specifics of this? I mean, they awarded him a Bronze Star.
Well, his mother, what did they give? It was a North Vietnamese hand grenade or a Viet Cong explosive device of some kind that landed near several members of his squad that he retrieved and attempted to what? To throw out of the area or to throw back or some ridiculous thing like that, like you see on TV. You know?
So in other words, he grabbed this grenade that hadn't gone off yet and was trying to throw it away from the squad.
There you go. And it, guess what? It blew up. Now, that's you. If you're telling me, is there anything in life that, think about it. A guy goes over, oh, look at this, a hand grenade. I think I'll grab it and bang. That's like almost the punchline to a comedy routine. Well, no, it is.
And a punchline to a comedy routine, huh?
Yes. And so John Edwards, when I saw what he did, the first thing I thought of was my son. What an imbecile.
All right, hold the line here. Lloyd Bonafide with us as we talk about the campaign of, as we talk about the trial of John Edwards, who's on trial now for essentially violating federal law regarding campaign funds, using campaign money to support this Riel Hunter. He's comparing John Edwards' stupidity with what he calls the stupidity of his own son who was killed in Vietnam for grabbing a North Vietnamese hand grenade and trying to throw it away from the squad and it blew up. Something that he was honored for posthumously. We'll be right back here with Lloyd Bonafide of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Dumb as the day is long. Dumb? Oh, man.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Lloyd Bonafide as we talk about the John Edwards campaign. John Edwards is, in your estimation, and I don't think that I would disagree with this, bottom line, a stupid man.
Absolutely.
A stupid man. And I think you said to me before we went on the air, Lloyd, that he was a guy emblematic of a lot of people who have the world in the palm of their hand and they decide to just, like, throw it in the garbage.
Something, Bill, that says it right there, and I'll tell you one even better. And you'll forgive my imagery, but I think that, you know, we're talking man to man, and I think the women who are listening will understand as well, because John Edwards and my wife, she understands. John Edwards, if you want to give it, if you want to look at it in the real way of what he had in his hand, you know what he had in his hand. He had the world's you-know-what in his hand. And he could have squeezed and twisted. And
okay, all right, so...
But that's what I'm saying. That's the power that John Edwards... It's not that you have the world in your hands. It's that you've got the world's you-know-what in your hands, and you're ready to squeeze twist and then pull. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I understand. I don't understand what the imagery. Now you're talking about something that's rather aggressive.
But what I'm saying is he had the ability. The world was going to hop to his tune, is what I'm saying. All right? And
so he had that kind of power over the world. All right.
Well, in my opinion, he did. You don't think he did?
And I don't think John Edwards was going to get elected president. I think that John Edwards was going to be a player for many years to come in the power struggles of America. I think he was going to become, he was set to become a grand old statesman, if you will. He was set to become one of North Carolina's venerated leaders. He was set to become the father and grandfather of a brood of children that he and his wife were proud of. I mean, John Edwards, and he had money.
That's the other thing right there, buddy. You said it. He had money.
He had a lot. He's got a lot of money. That's why I don't understand why he did this. He didn't need. I mean, he needed the campaign money, you know.
Well, you know, he couldn't. That's what I mean about him being stupid. And that's why I say there's only one other guy in the history of my life. And
that's a, that. Now we're getting back to your son again, and I'm very uncomfortable with you. You keep on calling that boy stupid. Didn't you love him?
And of course I loved him. I loved him very much. His mother loved him very, very much. I loved him very much. That's why when I go by his picture and I look and I say, I love you, how could you be such a blithering idiot? But you know something? Someone told me something, and it's true. If he'd lived, if my son had survived Vietnam and come back, well, he would have wound up doing it over something over here, probably would have gotten me or his mother killed. So, you know, don't you think so, Rick? My wife reminded me today, she said, as much as we loved Ralph, he might have come home and gotten both of us killed, blown to pieces. And,
oh, come on. I mean,
well, I mean, that's how dumb he was. Let me tell you something. My son one day, when I was...
We're talking here with... I want to get people up to speed. You're talking about your own son who gave his life in Vietnam to save his squad members, and you find that to be a stupid thing.
Look, he's a hero. I give you all of that, but he's still an idiot. Let me tell you something. When he was a little boy, and he was making an explosive, and he had vinegar and he had baking soda, and if you put those two things together and shake it up, it'll blow right up in your face. So he had this vinegar and this baking soda in a little paper tube. It was like a little toilet tube that he had secured at both ends. And he put it into this tube. It was baking soda and it was vinegar.
Yeah, they're very volatile together.
Right. He said to me, hey, Daddy, shake that up and then open one end of it. Now, what do you think I did? And so I got a face bowl. And he was in hysterics. And
so, in other words, what he did was he played a trick on you.
He could have. What do you mean a trick? Are you ready for this guy on the radio? He said he played a trick. What are you talking about, a trick?
He played a trick on you.
I could have been blown to hell. I could have been blown to hell and back.
By baking soda and vinegar? I don't think so.
What are you saying?
I'm saying the kid said, hey, Dad, shake up that tube of vinegar and baking soda. Which you did.
Yes, I did, and then I took the other end off. I took the cap off, and I got a face full of vinegar and baking soda and whatever else he put in there.
And you looked like a jackass, and the kid laughed his ass off.
So you're telling me that that was a joke. I could have been blown. He could have blown my head off. My wife agrees. I could have had my head blown off.
By baking soda and vinegar, I don't think so. By baking soda and vinegar, I do not think so, okay? But that's just, you know, that's just me.
Well, I don't agree with you. And again, this is a boy that could have had a lot of people hurt. If he gave me the cigar, I guess you're going to say that's a joke too. When the, you remember the cigar that blew up?
You've never heard of an exploding cigar?
I've never heard of a what, sir?
Have you ever heard of an exploding cigar?
Yes, the one that my son, my own flesh and blood, gave me.
Let me ask you this. Do you think your son was trying to hurt you?
I think my son was so stupid that when he went down to the corner to buy me a cigar, he bought an exploding cigar.
Do you think maybe he did it on purpose as a joke?
I don't know what you're talking about now. When he went down here to the tin box. And
all right, hold on for just a minute. Is this guy for real or what?
I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide talking about, well, we were talking about John Edwards. Now we're talking about his son who died in Vietnam, who he said was really stupid for dying in Vietnam, and is giving me other examples of him being stupid, like buying an exploding cigar. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
What are you saying? Is that a joke?
Yes, it's a joke.
No.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call here for, we have on the line Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California, as we continue talking about the John Edwards campaign.
Phil, can I make that one point?
Go ahead.
If you look into the Mellon family, then you made the point, and you made a good point there, of this woman, what's her name, Rachel?
Yeah, Bunny Mellon?
Yes, Bunny Mellon wanted to give him money. Now, let me tell you how stupid John Edwards is, and this goes back to how stupid the Mellon, Mellon family is. Now, John Edwards in 2004... when he was running for president in 2004, and he eventually became the vice presidential, nominee of John Kerry, Bunny Mellon called the campaign headquarters and said she wanted to donate money. And would you believe the imbeciles that Edwards has got working for him didn't recognize her name and didn't call her back?
Unbelievable.
You see how stupid? Had I known that, I wouldn't have gone near that guy with your money. Number two, I'm glad you didn't take offense.
No, it doesn't matter, because I don't have any money. So you couldn't go near him with my money, because there wouldn't be any.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know what, Mr. Hendry? It's not very becoming a member of the media like yourself pretending like you don't have any dough.
And, whatever you say.
Oh, stop it. Now, what's that? My wife said, why don't you go in the backyard and dig up another can of nickels if you think you're poor? Did you hear that one, Phil?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, you didn't break out the short arms and deep pockets line.
Well, she said I didn't break out the short arms and deep pockets line. She said, you still ought to go out in the backyard.
I understand. Now, all right, so can we move on with the Mellon story?
Well, the Mellons, this Bunny Mellon, now get a load of this. I lost my place.
The man that she married?
Yeah, the man she married is the grandson of Andrew Carnegie, who you know who he is.
Yes, he was a philanthropist, an industrialist. He was the Secretary of the Treasury. Famous, famous, wealthy man.
Right. Now, let me tell you something, oh wise one. This guy, Mellon, was a member of a club that was in the Pittsburgh area that was called, I believe it was the Hunt and Fish Club. My wife knows the name of it. Now, here it is, the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club. Okay?
All right.
Now, the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club had an earthen dam. This was a dam that they had built so it would obviously dam up the river and the fishing would be good and so forth. Well, guess what? In May of 1889, this idiot's club, their earthen dam gave way and caused something called, maybe you've heard of it, the Johnstown Flood? Yeah, my wife said, ever heard of that one in your travels?
Yes, I have. You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
But you can't hang that on, Mellon.
Why can't I? He was a member of the board of directors, this idiot. See, what I'm saying is, I'm not calling the guy a murderer, but I'm saying he's an imbecile. And so all of these idiots, they transfer that gene all the way down the line until it winds up with John Edwards. And he's not in the Mellon family, but he was an idiot too. You know,
so in other words, that means nothing because John Edwards was not a melon, so...
But you see what I'm saying? Idiots attract idiots, I guess is what I'm saying, right, honey? Yeah, my wife said that like John Edwards was a moron magnet. What are you laughing at?
That's pretty funny. John Edwards was a moron magnet. So
I don't see what the joke is.
Well, it's fun. It's a funny line. I don't agree with you that the Mellon family, the Andrew Carnegie Mellon family, were morons because an earthen dam gave way.
The guy was in a hunting fish club that built an earthen dam that gave way and caused the Johnstown flood. God! You've heard of that, right?
It's one of the worst disasters in American history. Yes, I've heard of the Johnstown flood. But I can't hang it all over the South Fork Fishing and Hunt Club or whatever that is. All right, let's go over to Wallace here. Wallace, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Bill. I'm
He's right here. Now, this gentleman, so you know...
What the hell?
So you know, he's got a... has had a laryngectomy. Wallace, I didn't understand you.
Understand the gentleman.
I think, did you ask him, had he, were, okay, were you in the service?
Yes, I was in the United States Navy.
And what in? And what in?
In 1950,
52. And what in?
All right, so you were a Marine. Good for you.
That's what men were doing. That's on Vietnam.
All right.
All right, so you said you're in Vietnam, Wallace?
Yep.
No, sir. My son was in the United States Army. And that's why he got blown up. You know, you're a real smart ass.
He says he's kidding.
Yeah, well, that's not very funny.
That, why would you say that, Wallace? You know.
You know, I got to ask you at this point a question, okay? Yes, I love my son. And yes, I'm proud of my son. But I can tell you that had he not killed himself in Vietnam, he would have come home and probably blown me and his mother to bits with some kind of anything, just a trip to the supermarket. The kid was always trying to blow something up. Well, he blew himself up, okay?
I'm a name, it's fine.
Will I say it again?
And one of it dead.
What? I didn't understand that.
My bullet pin.
Did he pull the pin? The pin had been pulled.
Oh, I'm pointing.
Yeah, no, it was the North Vietnamese.
He didn't pull the pin on the hand grenade. Is that what you're asking, Wallace?
What?
No, it was a hand grenade or some kind of an explosive that had been thrown from an enemy soldier or one of the enemy that he recovered and tried to clear from the area when it exploded. There were how many guys?
About four or five members of a squad that he was leading. Okay?
I'm a plane.
Now, I want to ask you something. What happened to your larynx?
I'm a plane.
So it's smoking, huh?
I don't got name, Lane.
No, I didn't think of it. You know, you can be a smartass if you want.
Don't talk that way, okay? Nobody can understand you, you're right, but I don't talk like that.
I'll tell you what he said.
Don't say what he said!
You can clean it up. He said I didn't get it through oral sex.
Oh, all right, so fine. Is that it, Wallace?
That part of that.
He did what?
That part of that.
Oh, yeah, well, no, I was in Korea. Where were you?
Dead, not dead.
Oh, Vietnam. Now, yes, I hear good. I can't understand what you're saying. You got a voice. Your voice, you know, I've known guys with voice boxes, but geez, you can't. I can't understand anything he's saying.
What? You lost the whole voice box there, huh?
That's the worst I've ever heard. Have you seen the TV? You put your finger over it or something, and maybe people will understand. Okay?
But they've done it.
You put your finger over it, and maybe... Go ahead, try it.
Who's that?
No,
all right, thank you very much.
What? And what's
877-876-PHIL. That was bizarre. I don't know where that guy was, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
He had a laryngectomy, or however you say it. And,
but I've never heard it that bad. And then when he put his finger over his...
He sounded like a squirrel or something. I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. How's that? As we talk here with Lloyd Bonafide on the candidacy of John Edwards, now the next thing that tomorrow he'll be back up, or rather the trial resumes, I should say. I don't know whether he will ever be called as a witness. They say that he broke federal law by accepting $725,000 from Mellon and more than $200,000 from his lawyer, who was his finance chairman. But this was not campaign money. It was a loan.
Well, you know, it was campaign money because his finance chairman gave it.
To the campaign.
To the campaign, exactly.
All right. So he's accused of concealing the money from the public and the Federal Election Commission, which polices political contributions, by filing a false and misleading campaign disclosure report. Tomorrow, they're going to get into, my understanding is they're going to get into these the separation of these monies. We're talking to Lloyd Bonafide, and your calls at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, as we continue talking about the trial of John Edwards on these campaign finance violations. And your comparison of him being stupid, now the Mellon family is stupid.
If you don't see the connection...
I really don't see any connection between the Mellons at all, just because he was the chairman of a hunt and fish club when a dam broke. And I don't see any connection to... Just because his campaign didn't understand who she was...
Well, that, you've got to admit, that's stupid. And for all I know, Edwards answered the phone.
Well, his campaign didn't know who this Mellon lady was when she called in 2004.
Right. So you can laugh all you want about how dumb this guy is. I'm telling you, this guy is as stupid as a bag full of hammerheads. And that's a fact.
All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Apparently, Bunny Mellon called the Edwards campaign in 2004 wanting to donate money, and nobody recognized her name, so they didn't return her phone call. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's a natural fact.
Phil, 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. And don't forget, we're going to be starting up a new Phil Hendry podcast that is a couple of weeks out. And this will be available to you free of charge, and it will be available to you through, wherever you like to go and grab your podcast. iTunes is most likely the best place. We will link it on our website, so it's just another reason to head on over to philhendryshow.com. If you don't have a subscription to our site where you can access thousands of hours of archived material going back over a decade, you need to do that. Go to philhendryshow.com. You get a backstage pass that not only gives you access to the live video cast that we're doing tonight. You can actually tune in and watch us. Log on, and here we are at the El Pacifico. You can also get our podcast the next day. You have access to our video cast archives that are about 5 days worth of video cast archives. You have access to all of our Saturday night shows that we did for local Los Angeles radio for a year, including the video casts. You have access, as I mentioned, to the thousands of hours of archive shows and so many other treats and goodies and extras. PhilHendryShow.com for that backstage pass. 877-876-PHIL is the number. I wanted to get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line here from San Diego. Dr. Sadler is a psychologist. To talk about what we just heard there, Dr. Sadler, because I was fascinated listening to that man's voice box. And I got in a conversation with Dan during the break. I said, how far away are we from having voice box, artificial voice boxes for people who have suffered that?
Well, Phil, I think that we're closer than probably you could well imagine. There is so much technology that's available, medical technology that's available now. The advances that we're making in medical technology is astounding. And I really, really, really believe that it's around the corner, if not closer. And I heard the gentleman's phone call, and you hear how tragic that is not to be able to articulate the way you would like to because you've lost your ability to speak because of cigarettes and other forms of laryngeal cancers and also other kinds of maladies.
Now, Billy, this is Lloyd Bonafide.
Go ahead, Lloyd.
Doctor, this is Lloyd Bonafide, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, Lloyd.
Can I ask you a question in all honesty? When you heard that man's voice, did you understand anything he was saying?
Well, because I've worked with people who've had laryngectomies or whatever you call it.
Can I just one thing?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you know how to pronounce that? You said laryngectomy, and
I did pronounce it. The term, what I'm trying to say is diseases related to the voice box or what we call laryngealic or something. It's a word that I don't know.
Shouldn't that be a word you know?
I beg your pardon?
Shouldn't that be a word that you would know, sir, is all I meant.
No, I not really. I mean, a lot of doctors know, but I approximated it. I approximated it.
Well, he's not a medical doctor.
But I don't care if he's not a medical. I just...
Sir, I appreciate your concern, Mr. Bone.
No, it's not Bone. It's Bonafide, sir.
I apologize, Mr. Bonafide. You should have been impressed with, what I said was other diseases that are laryngeanalically, that should have been good enough for you. Why are you?
Because I knew you were faking it.
Okay, this is a very weird conversation.
It's very weird for me.
Well, yeah, but also what you just said there, I faked it, that should have been good enough.
Well, Mr. Henry, you asked me to come on your program and talk about technologies for their...
He's going to fake another word.
No, I'm not, sir. Excuse me. For laryngeanalically or I don't know the word because you're right. I'm not a medical doctor.
Okay, that's all you had to say, sir.
Well, I didn't think I was coming on a program to be probed as if I was someone's anus, okay?
Wow!
What did you say with my wife sitting in the room?
I'm sorry, but...
Whoa, hold on. What?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but that's what I feel like.
All right, we'll just kind of roll back and cut that whole out of our memory, that whole conversation there. We're just cutting that right out of our memory, okay, if you don't mind?
Well, I came on the program to talk about Larry...
Good God, what's wrong with you? It sounds like you need a laryngectomy.
I can sense, I'm not sure, but I can sense there's laughter.
I'm laughing.
And I am too. Why?
Because the word laryngectomy, let's just get back on track.
I'd like to do that, if you don't mind.
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to be on track, but this man said...
Just never mind, Mr. Bonafide, I've got it. All right, so, have you ever... Forget about the word. If you don't know the word, that's fine. You're not a medical doctor. You're a doctor of psychology.
Don't those guys read, too?
Excuse me, but I don't believe I'm speaking with you.
All right, well, can I ask a question?
No, I'm still talking to the doctor. No.
Thank you.
Dr. Sadler, why were we not able to understand that man?
I was going to say, Phil, because there are some surgeries that are done on the vocal cords and on that part of the
laryngectomy.
Would you ask that man to shut his...
Lloyd, please.
Shut my what? Shut your hole. Why did you just call? That's what the guy's got in his throat, a hole. You know how to say that.
All right, Mr. Bonafide, I'm putting you on hold.
You're putting me on.
I just put him on hold, so don't worry. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. I'm having a hard time breathing. I'm so upset, you know.
I apologize, sir.
Sorry. Oh, God, I can't get my breath. I was so angry with that man. All right. Oh, God.
I apologize. I'm sure he upset you.
He did. Now, what I want... What was that?
I just busted off a hold. And
get out of here, okay?
You're not going to put me back...
Put him back on... He busted off a hold.
Yeah. He busted off a hold. I got to hang up on you.
I'll bust off of being hung...
Okay, so thanks. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just busted off of being hung up on.
You sound like a weenie.
Bring it. Don't open the Jim Sadler door.
Oh, yeah, right.
Don't open that door.
Phil Hendry.